early. So first off, I have this voice recorder here that I usually use starting at beginning of class, and it's running throughout the entire class period. And the point of it is to make available to all of us, or those of us who are interested, an MP3 audio file of the proceedings of the day. Has good advantages, and if you have to miss a class for some reason, you can get access to the MP3 afterwards. Or if things went too fast for you and you want to listen to it afterwards, if you want to jog around Furman Lake and listen to MP3 files of the lecture, whatever. That stuff is going to be made available. Next couple of days, at some point I'm going to talk about the key, how you can get access to that thing. I will try to keep it in a somewhat protected environment, so it's not out in the open where everybody can listen to it. So I haven't quite decided yet whether I'm going to put it on Moodle or just give it a funny URL. We'll see. If there's anybody in the room who has serious problems with being recorded, who sees problems with that, talk to me, send me an email, and we can discuss, right? But so you should just know off the bat that things are being recorded for now. That's the first thing. Just very quickly, you all probably have seen my name already. Alfons Teipen, sounds foreign, is foreign. I'm not from around here. I'm going to introduce myself a little bit more in a second. But one of the things you need to know about me right off the bat is that I'm very bad with names. I'm a historian by training. I know the names of dead people. I'm not that good with the names of people that are still alive. And so I have this tool, old-fashioned camera, you remember those? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to send this thing around together with a yellow sheet. And what I want you to do is to either take a selfie or ask the person right next to you to take a picture of you. Matter of fact, two pictures. One picture with mask, because that's how I'm going to see most of you most of the time. And one picture, if you would, please, without mask, so I know what you look like behind the mask. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to collect those. I'm going to create my own cheat sheet where I will hopefully, as a tool that hopefully will help me learn your names. Be patient with me on that. Really, I am bad with names. So what we're going to do is the first couple of weeks of class, whenever you want to contribute, you want to say something in class, after raising hand and so forth, you're going to lead off with your name so that I actually, through repetition, gradually get to learn your name. Right? The camera, straightforward machinery, has two buttons up there. You have a black button, bigger one, and you have a small red button. The red button is for videos. We don't want a video, we just want a snapshot. So if you please would, hold it horizontally, and then one picture with mask, one without mask, and then take down your names, and I'm going to print all of that up, and we're going to, next class session, look at, make sure that we have names and everything correctly. When you hit the button, you should hear a short beep, and the beep indicates that the picture is made. We're good on that? Okay. So while that is going around, let me make a few more observations. The game plan for today, what we're going to be doing is, most important, of course, going through the syllabus. You all have it in front of you. We're going to get to that in about 10 or so minutes. Before we do that, I would like to have a round of introductions. I'm going to start off with my own introduction, and then I'm going to give you 7 points that I would like to learn from each of you. So as I said, name is Alfons Teipen. I'm originally from Germany, to be more specific, from what used to be Western Germany, a small town in the north of Germany, close to Bremen, Oldenburg. I grew up on a hog farm in Germany. And so I like my pork and I like my beer. That's one way to explain that whereas I do teach the religious tradition of Islam, I myself am not a Muslim. I like my beer and I like my pork too much to convert to the tradition. In other words, I'm a student of the religious tradition, so I'm what you may want to call an academic outsider. Right off the bat, very important to know the difference. We're going to learn about Islam in this class from an academic outsider's perspective. Throughout the term, we're going to have opportunities, hopefully, to listen a little bit to voices from insider perspective, from practicing Muslims. We're going to do that through readings, a couple of videos, possibly interviews. We're going to see what else we can do to make available to you all also the insider's perspective. Back to me. Grew up in Germany. I studied theology at the University of Tübingen in southern Germany. It's one of the oldest universities in Germany. I studied theology, Christian theology, for about 3 years. And then I applied to an exchange program with Temple University in Philadelphia. Anybody familiar with Temple in Philly? Not really, nobody from Philly in the room. Anyways, at Temple University, I became very interested in other religious traditions, studied with two Muslim professors, and became very quickly very aware as to how many prejudices I myself, as an educated person, had about Islam. And so that, in a sense, moved me to get into the field of teaching myself. So my thinking was that if I, as a halfway educated person, have this many stereotypes about Islam, then probably others do as well, and it probably is not a bad idea to do something about that. That's what got me into the business of teaching religion and teaching about Islamic studies in particular. After the first year of exchange, met my wife, Chris, got married, just celebrated 25th anniversary last year, 2 years ago. I finished my degree at Temple University in early history of Islam in 97, and ever since that time I've been teaching here at Furman University. So I'm beginning my 25th year here at Furman. I got two kids. My son, Jacob, graduated from Arizona State Honors College a couple of years ago. My daughter, Hannah, just graduated last year from Austin College in Texas. My son is living in Austin, Texas, and my daughter is actually doing social work here in Greenville. That's me in a nutshell. I'm afraid you're going to learn a whole lot more about me throughout the term, but that's kind of what we got. So what I would like to do now is for you all to introduce yourselves to the class. 7 points that I would like to ask you. One, who? Your name. Two, where are you from? Three, why are you at Furman? What brought you here? Four, what brought you to this class in particular? Five, any prior exposure to the subject matter, to Islam, through travel, through study, through reading, through friends, neighbors, what have you. Number six, any hobbies or passions or interests that you have in general. And number seven, one thing you know already about Islam. You are following? So those 7 points in very quick succession. And if we could start with you.
All right, so I'm Kate Johnson. I'm from Canton, Georgia. I came here for basketball, but also the academic side of things. I went to Great University. Prior knowledge is, I know it has something to do with the Middle East. I'm not really.
Okay.
And then I don't have any prior experience. And then I'm in this class because it's what fit in my schedule, but also it seems pretty interesting to me. I think that's all.
Okay. And hobbies, passions?
Basketball.
Okay. Very good.
thank you for being so formal and standing. I'm not sure it's quite necessary, but...
What's up, everybody? I'm Alex Hunter. I'm from Raleigh, North Carolina. What brought me to Furman was basketball. Also, prior knowledge to Islam, I think it's one of the fastest growing religions, if not the fastest.
Okay.
I don't have any prior history, like any involvement in the religion. And is that everything?
And hobbies.
Oh, hobbies. Basketball and listening to music.
All right. Great, thank you. Let's see, let's continue on this side. You want to introduce the listeners?
Well, salutations, everybody. My name is Isaiah. I live in Boston, Massachusetts. Let's see, a hobby of mine, I'm not very fond of the railroad and trains, so I put a train horn bell that works upon my car and do various shenanigans with that, among other things. That being said, what are the other 7 points I'm missing? Well, one thing I know about Islam is you always pray towards Mecca. And one thing I suppose connection I have with it is since I grew up in a big old city, there are lots of people from all over the world, and lots of those people are Muslims. And so you never knew them. We might meet, what experiences they had this year. It was always a zesty time, I suppose. But I digress. Am I missing any of the points?
Yes, you did the where we're from. What brought you to Furman and what brought you into this class?
Yes, okay, I can do that. Well, I bash my drums, so I'm Furman's first drum set performance maker. So I'm all over in the music building, bashing my drums when I'm not doing other things. And what brought me to Furman, that was a big incentive among a fascination with this general region, especially upstate South Carolina. It's a strange cauldron of urban and very rural. So that aside, and I suppose what brought me to this class is an interest to learn about what other people believe in, what other people cherish, and an interest to learn the histories of religion, I suppose.
Okay. Great.
But I digress.
Great. Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. My name is Duncan Winburn. I'm from Columbia, South Carolina. I went to Furman pretty much because of everything. Everybody's really nice. It's got really good academics, liberal arts academics, and they also have a really good disabilities office. What I already know about Islam, they follow a prophet named Muhammad. I actually just did an internship with a Muslim organization this summer. Hobbies, I like talking to people and playing video games and watching TV. But talking to people, that's the first one. Am I missing anything else?
Why in this class?
Why this class?
Yes.
I've always been curious about Islam, and I've studied Bible and Ultimate Meaning, Buddhism, so Islam is really the only major religion, honestly, that I can think of that I haven't studied. So I'm interested.
Okay.
Is the bottom line.
Great. If I, out of curiosity, if I may ask, what was the organization that you worked with?
There's a place called Kerala.
Okay.
They advocate for women's rights and
rights. Right. Yes.
Okay.
Excellent. Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ifrata. I'm from Ethiopia, and the reason why I came to Furman is because it's something different from what I usually go to. And they gave out good scholarships. Why I'm interested to this class is because I have families that are Muslim,
yeah.
And I would like to know more about it since I'm a Christian, and I would like to understand the history behind the religion. And what I know is that they usually pray 5 times a day.
Okay.
And yeah, my hobbies are playing soccer and reading.
Right. Soccer. Great. Thank you.
I'm Mary Ashley. I'm from right outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. I came to Furman for the ROTC program, but also the small liberal arts education. I enjoy smaller classroom settings. I really enjoy learning about other cultures and other religions. That's why I decided to take this class. I have a good number of Muslim friends, so I thought it was something to. I thought it would be interesting to learn, just so we can have kind of a common ground. I understand a little bit more. Can't remember the other. I know that Islam is an Abrahamic religion.
Okay.
And some of my hobbies include working out and language learning.
And you said working out, right? Oops. Great.
Hello, I'm Milo. I'm from Anderson, South Carolina. It's a small town, about 40 minutes away from here. And then I came to Furman because I always wanted to go to a smaller college. And then also location, because I don't want to be too far from home. And then I took this class because I wanted to take a religious class that I didn't know a lot about. And but I know there's two main sectors, I think Sunni and Shia.
Okay, very good.
And my hobbies, pretty much music, I'm in choir.
You say music and choir in particular, yes. Right? Good. Great. All right. Next.
I'm Casey. I'm from Plainfield, Illinois. It was just really beautiful, and I wanted to get out of Illinois in the cold. And what brought me to this class, it took a humanities course where we studied a lot of different religions, and I just am really interested in going deeper into some of those. My hobbies, I guess, reading.
Your hobbies were?
Reading.
And one thing you know about?
Oh, right. Their holy text is the Quran.
Okay, Quran. Very good. Great, thanks.
My name is Nick. I came to Furman because of the football program. I'm on the football team. And that was a big draw as well as the academics, kind of gets both. I'm from Atlanta, or north of Atlanta, not super close to the city. One thing I know about Islam, I'm gonna say that their holy book is the Quran.
Okay.
I just know that they have multiple different sects.
Okay.
They're all kind of different, and they're kind of different. The Islam in the U.S. is pretty different from Islam over in the Middle East.
So we have quite regional varieties.
And then I think the reason I wanted to do this class, I was just interested in Islam as religion, something that I don't know much about. And I think, like you said earlier, I feel like I probably do have prejudices or biases against it that I probably shouldn't have, and so I think I would like to be more educated on the religion.
Great. Hobbies?
I do photography.
Okay.
Photography. Let's see. How you guys? Oh, you guys spell it with PH, right?
PH. Is it?
one thing I still have on my wish list, and that is a spell check on the blackboard.
Great, thank you.
I'm Colin Gagne. I'm from Simpsonville, South Carolina. It's like 40 minutes away from here. I came to Furman because it's close by, and it's the best history program in the state, so that's why I want a history major. Okay. Hobbies, right? I like to read and write occasionally, too. What else?
So is that reading and writing?
Yes.
Okay.
Very good. So we know the reading.
I took this class because, you know, there's a lot I don't know about Islam. I really don't. And it's such a common point of discussion, especially in the media. You notice that where people are very quick to demonize people who belong to Islam. Just something that I want to learn more about.
Okay, okay. In prior exposure, I think we dropped it on the last couple, but
I read a fair amount. I know I read a lot about it in high school.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Great.
And one thing that I know is that it's a monotheistic religion.
Okay, great, great. Great.
Hi, I'm Ellie. I'm from Belmont, North Carolina. It's outside of Charlotte. Let's see. I came to Furman because I wanted a small liberal arts school, and it wasn't too far from home because I'm really close with my sister. Let's see. Hobbies. I love yoga.
Okay.
One of my best friends in high school practiced. He was a practicing Muslim. So I've gotten a lot of exposure being close with him, and something I know, it's a very dedicated religion.
Okay.
So it's, Atarans are dedicated, dedication among Muslims, okay, just put it like that, yeah,
right. I took this class because Molly told me to take this class, and I also wanted to know more about the religion, just because I had a really close friend.
Okay, great.
Hi, I'm Molly Hensley. I'm from Asheville, North Carolina, and I chose to come to Furman because of the community and just the people and the small classroom size. A hobby of mine, I'm on the cheer team, so I'm cheerleading, and I like to read. I took this class because I'm a religion major, and I needed another Islam class, so here I am. And I know quite a bit, but maybe Muslims worship an ever-living God.
Okay.
So, and yeah, what else? Was that it?
I think we hit the big ones, right? Prior exposure, I think you talked a bit about it already indirectly. So I think we're good.
Okay.
All right. Well, welcome everyone. Great to see interest. First off, before I continue, everybody had the camera and took pictures. Great. Secondly, before I get into the syllabus very quickly, so I'm teaching two sections of the course. I'm teaching one at 9:30, no, actually 9:10 these days, right? And the 9:10 is actually even smaller than this one. So if any of you have availability in the schedule for a 9:10 slot on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and would like to move over, that would be great, because I'm trying to run both sections parallel to each other. And if I have about even numbers, that is making a couple of scheduling decisions a whole lot easier for me. So if you are interested, you don't have already a 9:10 class on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And if you're interested in moving from one section to the other section, let me know after class or email me ASAP, and we can make that happen. And everybody will be the happier for it. That'll make for a nicer size for this class. So we'd be down to ideally somewhere in the neighborhood of 10, 7 to 10, and the other one would be a little bit bigger. I think most of you have seen these situations of awkward silence that you can have on occasion in very small classes where nobody really has anything to say. And it's painful for students, it's painful for professors, and it's unnecessary if you can kind of shift folks around a bit, right? So keep that in mind. That having been said, let me say one more word on myself before we get into the syllabus. And that is, by now, everybody in this class will have witnessed Taipan's awful handwriting. Now, my first grade teacher would be very proud of me on account of the fact that I became a teacher myself. My first grade teacher would not be very proud of me when it comes to penmanship. I have really awful handwriting, and there's not much we can do about that. So, when I write something on the board, and you don't know what I'm writing, and you need me to translate or write more neatly, you need to throw something at me or yell or somehow make it known that you can't decipher what I'm scribbling on the board so I can improve, right? So don't be shy. I think we Germans have ownership of rude behavior. You can't out-rude a German. So don't consider it rude if you need to interrupt me if something is illegible on the board. We're on board as far as that is concerned? You're hearing me? Great. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go through the syllabus. I think everybody has a copy in front of them. Main object of today is to just get a sense of what we have in the syllabus. Oh, my bad. So off the top, this is one thing you need to know. Ordinarily, students have two choices when it comes to syllabi. Syllabi are, in a sense, a contract between student and professor. And the contract is this: professor is laying out the expectations vis-a-vis the student, and as long as student fulfills those expectations, students will receive at the end of the day a passing grade. If student did particularly well in fulfilling requirements, student will get a really good grade, right? So that's kind of the deal. And then when student reads the syllabus, student ordinarily has two choices. Student loves what they see in the syllabus and is going to say yes and amen, I want this. Student is on board, contract is indirectly signed, everybody's happy. Alternative to that, student is aghast at what they are seeing on the syllabus. Oh my God, professor can't really be expecting this from me. And so the reaction then would be, sorry professor, I'm going to look for another class. My feelings won't be hurt one bit if that's how you decide at the end of today or next week you want to move. There's lots of really, really good classes. Most, probably all professors at Furman are better professors than I am. Most classes are probably more interesting than mine. So I won't be hurt one bit if that's how you move, right? I'm giving you a third option. And that option is, if there's something in the syllabus that irks you, that you don't think should apply to you, you make argument to me why it shouldn't apply. And the way you make argument is you write me a paper, 1 to 2 pages, and you convince me that a particular stipulation ought not apply to you. We sit down, we talk, you convince me, we make an alternative syllabus just for you with the stipulation taken out that you object to, right? You need to convince me, right? And you need to convince me in writing. But that is not an impossible task. You make good argument, we can come to alternative agreements. Everybody hear me? Okay. So that is something you would need to do in the near future. I'd say in the next couple of days, you see something in the syllabus that irks you, talk to me. Write me an argument why it should apply. Right. That having been said, let's go through the syllabus. So basically what we have here is a basic intro to the religious tradition of Islam. Now, the religious tradition is big, right? We are talking about at least 1,400 years of history. If you go with Muslim theological understanding, actually, not just 1,400 years, but the history of mankind, of humankind, is actually the history of Islam. So it's long, and it's big in terms of geography. There is no place on earth that is not touched in some fashion by Islam, right? Muslims are living in all of the continents, most of the continents, I should say, and in most of the countries of the world. Right? So there's huge territory that we're going to be traversing in the next 14 weeks. So it's going to be, you're going to hear me saying this phrase a lot, it's going to be hopelessly oversimplified, but what we're going to do is the first part of the semester, there's going to be a lot of lecturing. I am European after all, but I go with the conviction that before we can discuss something, we need to know something about it. It does not make sense to start discussion on the first day of class if nobody knows what we're talking about. Right? So you're going to see the first part of the course is going to be a little bit more lecture and reading heavy. And later on, once we all have a little bit of mastery of the material, that's when we get into discussions. Right? So you can expect that from me. What we're going to have is required readings. We have two books. We have the Daniel Brown book. Very quickly, how many of us have already a book in hand or in the bag or something like that? Okay. Very quickly, textbook producers like to make money. So what they do is every couple of years they come out with a new edition, they change something like three words or a chapter or two, and then they charge you an arm and a leg for it. If you all find a used copy that's cheaper, go for it. Not a problem. The only caveat or only caution I have is make sure that you compare your table of content to a more recent version of the book to make sure that the chapters stay the same. But other than that, as long as it's Brown, if you can find it, $5 used, go for it, right? We don't need to enrich the text book market. The second one is Who Speaks for Islam? This book, this is a standard, by now I think they're in paperback, a publication. It's under 20 or 15 bucks or something like that. This one we're going to need later in the term, so don't worry about it for now. If you can find it used, great. On this one, if you're still looking, if you want to order it online and save a buck or two, if you don't have access to it for this coming week, let me know. I can make the first couple of chapters available in PDF format. I just need to know that you need it, right? So send me an email. If that's the case, I will email you chapter one, chapter two, whatever you need. We are good on that? Okay. So those are our readings. Course structure and participation requirement, not a lot I need to say on that, except I do take attendance, and I have an attendance policy. And the policy is be here. Now, there are a number of valid reasons on occasion that you can't be here. University sponsored event, family emergency, what have you. My policy is such that if you know of the absence beforehand, let me know. Send me an email. And make sure that you somehow get your hands on the material that was covered during that class, both the readings and the lecture, discussion, whatever we have. You can do that either by availing yourself of the audio recording that we have or asking a friend for notes or something like that. And then write me a summary of the materials missed in PDF format, two pages. And if the summary is good, return it to you. If there's mistakes, I can find them. And if I have the summary within a week after your absence, we will just pretend that your absence never occurred. We will pretend that you actually were in class. You are following? Right. But I need to see the summary. Right. So that's as far as the attendance policy is concerned. If you don't, if you're absent and you don't count, you see the math here, it's about 2 out of 100 points that would be missing for every absence. Accommodation requests. I assume that many of you who are qualified have already been in touch with SOAR. If you have not, please do so ASAP. If you have extended testing or other accommodations, I need to know it before I administer tests. So act on that ASAP. Send me an email if you have questions. Next big topic is student papers and presentations. So in addition to our midterm and final exam, oral participation and other grades, we will have one major research project that each of you will undertake. And it is of utmost importance that you find yourself a topic that you really are interested in. And you cannot start thinking about a topic early enough in the term.
That is why I asked you all for your hobbies, because that's where oftentimes your passion lies. And so I invite you to think about your passion, your hobby, and how it may find expressions in Islam, how it may relate to Islam, or whether they are Muslim equivalents. So, for example, basketball. Now, the playing itself I can't do much about, but as many of you know, we have a good number of Muslim basketball pros in the NBA. Most of them very interesting characters who are coming to Islam through various venues, either by birth, by conversion, through various of our movements here. And so one interesting topic would be, if any of those basketball bigs are something you're interested in, to talk about their Islam, talk about how they came to the religious tradition, how their life, in a sense, reflects the religious tradition, etc., etc. In the past, I've had one paper, for example, on football, but now not the American version, but the European version, what you all call soccer. And this paper was on how Muslim soccer players in Europe shift European understandings of Islam. Right? So there's fascinating topics that we can develop with. Railroad, there's the Baghdad Railroad that Europeans built in the 19th century from Europe all the way to Baghdad. I think there's actually a track, the Hijaz Railway, that was produced, I think it was Germans. So if you're into railroad history, look into the Hijaz Railroad. Drums, actually was it just yesterday that the...
Charlie Watts.
That one, yes. Rolling Stones, right? But drums play an interesting role in various musical traditions, and there is apparently, I'm no expert on this, but I've heard somewhere that drums actually come to us through the Ottomans. So there's interesting ways there as well. And I think most of the ones that we have on board here, you can start thinking about, you know, is there something that is related to Islam that may be interesting to me, where my passion and this subject matter match up, and I can do a research project. My invitation to you all, think about it early, and once you have done a little bit of thinking and a little bit of initial reading, make an appointment with me, meet with me, and we can talk it through, and I can see what ideas I may have and how I may help you develop a topic. Now, and this is not explicit on the syllabus, the best way to get in touch with me and the best way to make an appointment with me is to send me an email with 5 to 6 suggested meeting times that work on your schedule, and I hopefully will find at least one that works on my schedule as well, and voila, we have a meeting time established. So send me those suggested meeting times and I will respond usually within an hour, 2 hours, and we hopefully will find agreeable location. I'm fine meeting in person, outside on the bench or in the office with mask, and I'm fine meeting on Zoom if that's your preference. So I'm very flexible on that. Right? I have a cell phone, but I don't do cell phones. So there's no cell phone number where you can reach me. The only reason I have a cell phone is my wife made me get one a couple of years ago because I bike from Furman to home, which is close to downtown every day, and she's afraid that I may get a flat tire and a bear is going to eat me alive. That's why I have a cell phone. But that's the only reason I... So don't try to call me on my cell phone. Anyways, so that's on the student papers and presentation. I'm laying out in detail how the deadlines work. I'm laying out in detail how the individual steps work, from developing a topic to an abstract to various deadlines. So fly through that and read that carefully. We're going to talk in more detail once we get closer to those deadlines. I take academic integrity very seriously, plagiarism in particular. We're actually going to have a homework assignment later on in that that helps us understand this a little bit better. But from my perspective, plagiarism is absolutely indefensible.
it's at least two offenses rolled into one. If you plagiarize, you're not just stealing ideas from somebody else and pretend that they're yours, but you're also misleading the reader. So you're stealing and lying at the same time. Absolute no-no in my class. If somebody demonstrably plagiarizes, that student will flunk the entire class. Then on the next page, we have Moodle participation. We're going to be using Moodle by raise of hand. You have used Moodle before. We have successfully logged into Moodle. So we are familiar with the basics. Great. So we're going to be using that. For example, later on you're going to see this. We're going to be using it for a few discussions, for the paper development. We're going to use glossaries in preparation for midterm and final exam, where you will actually produce your own study guides, where you will share your suggestions of essay questions for the exams and so forth. We're going to get into that. So that's something you should do on a regular basis. One thing I should say about Moodle that many students don't know is that Moodle is very big brotherish. I don't know that many of you are aware that every single time you log into Moodle, every single time you click on a link, Moodle is logging information on your ISP address, on the time you log in, etc., etc. And that information is, most of that information is accessible to your instructors. Now, I don't have better things to do than, you know, look at all of your access information, but on occasion, particularly when I get the impression that nobody is doing the reading, I will pull up the logs and see who actually logged in and who actually did the reading. And then I will act accordingly, give you a yelling or whatever is necessary, right? So just be aware that professors have access to that information when you log into to Moodle. It is scary, it is big brotherish. So Moodle participation, and then we have video assignments. Throughout the term, there's going to be a couple of videos that you're going to be watching. And what I want you to do is, when you watch the videos, I want you to write brief summaries, your own commentary, and so forth. And I want you to email that to me before the class for which it was assigned. That has two functions. One of them, it helps me understand how well you understood the material in the video. And it helps me then prepare lectures and discussions accordingly. The first big one is due, I think, September 11th or the 10th. And that's the longest. So the first video that you all will be watching is actually a three-hour mammoth video. It is a very interesting one, I should say. It's a video 3 hours long on the life of Muhammad. And this three-hour movie is true to the traditional stipulation that you never ever show Muhammad at all. So think about this. We have a movie that's 3 hours long, a biopic, and the subject of the biopic is not seen even once. From a cinematographic perspective, that is quite a feat. So it's going to be an interesting experience. It's a movie from the 1970s. You're going to have fun with it. But again, that's one of altogether, I think, five videos that we're going to watch. The other ones are much shorter, but I expect you all to write summaries on those and PDF them and send them to me.
Question on that.
Yes.
It says that the PDF summary is due by Thursday, September 3rd.
Oh, does it?
Which? That's a Friday, but then it says over here by Saturday.
My bad. So where do you see the Friday and the Saturday?
So right here it says 9/3, and that puts it on Friday, but then on there it says by 11.
Yes, get rid of the 9-3.
Okay.
That is my bad indeed. That is one of many mistakes that you will find in the syllabus.
So just have it done by that Saturday?
That's right.
Okay, great.
So everybody see this? Top of page 4, the first 4 line at the end in the rightmost box. You're going to see a summary in PDF format via email. And get rid of the by Thursday 9/3. That is a remainder of, I think, last year or 2 years ago in the syllabus. Thanks for catching that.
Yes, sir.
And you will find more mistakes. I'm human after all, I do make plenty of mistakes. All right, so back to, let's see, deadlines, academic integrity, video assignments. Those are the big ones. And then we come to grading. So the grading consists of, and here's the next mistake. You can keep your pen out. 10% on attendance, oral participation, and other course responsibilities. And then another 10% on Moodle participation. And now comes the mistake. Particularly strong Moodle participation in class will override weaker Moodle participation. And that's, of course, utter nonsense. And get rid of the Moodle and replace it by oral, right? So in other words, what I'm trying to say here in fancy words is some of us all are more gifted at speaking in front of a crowd, and those would be folks that have strong oral participation, and some of us are shy meisters. We don't like to speak that much in front of crowds. I would encourage those that are of that age to try to overcome their shyness a little bit, because it's a valuable skill to have to talk in front of a group of people. But at the same time, I would also encourage them to do more on the Moodle side, because Moodle participation then will, in a sense, trump the oral participation weakness. You all following? So either be strong on oral participation in class, or be strong on Moodle participation, or be strong on both. Don't be weak on both. We all following? So then grading, 10% on the oral, 10% on Moodle, 10% on video assignments. We're going to have a midterm exam at 25%. We're going to have a final exam at 25%. And then we're going to have the final paper and the presentation. Right? So those are the grades that we will have. And then following that, you have the tentative schedule. And tentative is underlined. There's a good chance that the schedule will change. What I will be doing is I will be keeping an updated schedule on Moodle. And so whenever I announce changes to the schedule in class, I will see that, those changes are also reflected on the Moodle schedule. And I will highlight them either in red or with yellow highlight or something like that, so you will see the changes, right? So for the time being, this is a tentative schedule, but there's a good chance it will change. We are good? Okay. Then probably one or two more things. This coming Friday, the 27th, I won't be here, because my niece is getting married, and she is getting married in this long ceremony that stretches out over 3 days. I'm actually going to be part of a dance battle, if you can believe it. It's going to be fun, hopefully. Anyways, I'm not going to be here, so no class meeting on Friday. We will be meeting again next week, Monday. For Monday, I have a couple of jobs for you. First one is read the syllabus one more time carefully. Any questions you have, email me on them or bring them to class on Monday. Any exemptions to the schedule or exemptions that you would like to see where you think something shouldn't apply to you, write me a paper on those, send that to me, and we can talk. And then by Monday, have the first reading assignments done, right? So when you look under point 3, Monday 30th, you're going to see in the rightmost column under readings, Brown 1, that is to say chapter 1 of Brown, ought to be read by then. And then the Moodle assignment, it's a PDF, Saving Other Women from Other Men, Disney's Aladdin, you would have read that. And in addition to that, I have another homework assignment, and that is what I call the exercise Play the Professor. And that is an exercise where you get to rehome your skills on proper citation and proper quotation. So what I'm giving you here is a worksheet, so called plagiarism worksheet, where you find on the top of the sheet a source quote, and then you find 4 hypothetical student papers, A through D. And what I want you to do is I want you to mark up those papers as if you were the teacher or the professor in the class, and mark them up to indicate any mistakes in citation or quotation that our students have made. If
you want, use the color red as a professor would, and mark up how or whether each of our hypothetical students A through D properly recorded and properly cited. You all following what I'm asking you to do? Okay. So that's all that I have on my end. Lastly, let me introduce you to another technological gadget. So what I'm doing with this thing, I'm going to bring this in on occasion, given that we're still under COVID. I'm measuring the CO2 level in the room. And any number under 1,000 is indicative of sufficient air circulation so that COVID would have a harder time, the aerosols of COVID would have a harder time accumulating and infecting. If ever the numbers on this thing should exceed 1,000, that would give us cause for alarm. And if it would stay above 1,000, I may just take the class outside and we may have to do teaching outside that day. Right? So this is just one COVID prep or precaution that I'm taking. So we have 1 minute for any questions any of you have immediately right now. We are good? All right. You all have a good rest of the week, and I see you next week.
Thank you.
Good day.